Hi, my name is Robin McCormick, and I am the Girls FCA Lacrosse Club Director. This podcast is about all things LAX. We wanted to bring you authentic, fresh, and inspiring information from coaches, players, and others in the lacrosse world, giving you the best up-to-date information in the game of lacrosse as it is evolving quickly. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. My name is Robin McCormick, and I am the Girls FCA Lacrosse Club Director. Welcome to our podcast, All Things LAX with FCA Girls. I am excited to introduce our guest today, co-founder and president of Morgan's Message, Donna Rogers. A little bit about Donna and Morgan's Message. Donna is the mother of Morgan, co-founder, board chair, and president of Morgan's Message. The organization was officially founded in 2020 by Donna and her family with the core belief that as an athlete, there is no shame in seeking physical health care. The same should be true for mental health care. Through Morgan's Message, Donna and her family have established several initiatives to raise awareness and provide resources around suicide. The initiatives are such as Ambassador Program, a network of student leaders at high schools and colleges around the world, educating their peers and communities about mental health. Podcasts and blog, the Mental Health Matchup, which provides a platform for athletes to share their mental health journeys in a safe place. Awareness events, Ambassador organized dedicated games and other events to raise awareness and promote open dialogue. Advocacy. The organization works to equalize the treatment of physical and mental health with athletes' culture. Welcome, Donna. We are super excited to have you on today and kind of talk about a topic that's really on my heart, mental health, and making sure that we just keep talking about it.
Hi, Robin. Thank you so much for having us. It's been a bit of time since we last collaborated on some presentations for your players. I'm thrilled to be here today and to chat with you.
Yeah, we ran an event with the boys and the girls FCA clubs together. Dr. Will from Willpower PT helped us kind of co-host that. And it was just a really wonderful event. And families and all of our players were included. Just another wonderful way to bring the community together and talk about this matter. Yeah. There's definitely listeners on. I know a lot of the community, especially the lacrosse community, has and is familiar with Morgan's Message. But can you tell us a little bit about Morgan's story and how really Morgan's Message was founded and came about?
Of course. Yeah, we're a little heavy in the lacrosse world because that was Morgan's passion, but really we have reached out to, there is every single sport out there that we have a little bit of a footprint on. So Morgan had a dream to play college lacrosse from very early on. And that dream seemed to come through to fruition right before the summer of her junior year. Duke University offered her a spot on the team that following fall. So she graduated in 2015 from high school, started that fall at Duke University. So she was a member of the lacrosse team there for 4 years. Her freshman year was a typical freshman year. She didn't get a lot of playing time. She had a lot to learn. She went to school with raw talent, and she needed to figure out how to kind of fine tune those talents, have a new coach, new teammates, living away from home for the first time. It was just very, very typical of a freshman year, especially a student athlete freshman year. So she knew she had a lot to learn. She was a sponge. She took every opportunity to get in some extra time with coaches or upperclassmen, things like that, to kind of fine tune her game. Sure enough, it worked. Sophomore year, fall season, lacrosse, for those of you that don't know, is a spring sport in college. So fall ball was a big time for her to really show her stuff, and that she did. She basically went from riding the bench to a starting position that second year as a sophomore. So unfortunately and sadly, 2 weeks before opening day of her sophomore season, just at practice, she took a really weird dodge. She was a very good dodger. She had a lot of inertia. She was fast. She was spunky. And just tore up her knee. She had level three tears of her ACL, her MCL, and they had to rebuild her meniscus. So it was a pretty devastating injury at a pretty critical time in her career. But she took it on and rehab like she did everything else. Morgan was stubborn. She was determined. She set her sights on goals and pretty much always obtained them. Things didn't ever come super easy to Morgan. Yes, she was a natural athlete, but she worked at everything that she got with her sports. So that injury would turn out to be career ending, but we did not know that right away. They said it would be at least a year of rehab and that she put in the time. 6 days a week, she really pushed to get herself back on the field. That didn't quite happen. She ended up taking a medical leave of absence the following year because the knee just wasn't cooperating. And at that point, we did focus. We were always kind of aware of of mental health that would also go along with physical health injuries, but there were no glaring signs. Morgan suffered very silently. Things have changed in the past 5 to 6 years. But the stigma that surrounds the topic of mental health was strong and going when Morgan was going through it. So she kept everything to herself. She really did not open up to any teammates. She's a twin. She didn't open up to her twin sister. We have a very close relationship. She didn't open up to her parents, her coaching staff, even her therapist, that we were kind of mandated to give her some support. Being away from home, having your sport be ripped out from under you very unexpectedly. So that was kind of protocol at Duke to get some counseling. And Morgan went to the counseling. She checked every box possible, but she never opened up about how she was really feeling. And I don't know if we'll ever really know the reason why, but she wrote a lot of things down. And so the one of the glaring things that stands out was the stigma. She was afraid of what people would think. She was ashamed. She was embarrassed. All of the above. And we lost her to suicide in July of 2019. So she didn't struggle her whole life in and out of hospitals with mental health issues. She really didn't know what to do with these feelings. And so when we lost her, we were all completely taken by surprise, completely, as you can imagine, devastated. Her teammates, her coaches, her family. I mean, everyone that knew Morgan, no one saw this coming. No one saw her struggles. At least, you know, from what we know, we've talked to many people, and everyone that was close to her still has questions. I don't think we'll ever have the answer to those questions, but we do know a lot of things about mental health. Mental health struggles are on a spectrum. Morgan's was extreme, of course, but, we thought if Morgan could be in a position where she was so afraid to reach out for help or embarrassed or ashamed or whatever you want to call it, that there has to be other people out there, other student athletes out there that might be struggling. So we want to get to them before it gets to the crisis mode. And we thought the best way to do that is to start chipping away at the stigma that surrounds this topic. And the best way to do that is to have the hard conversations. Is to have any conversations. You mentioned earlier, we want to normalize these conversations. No one is ever ashamed or embarrassed when they get physically hurt. When she blew out her knee, she went immediately to the ER, immediately had an MRI done. There was no shame in that at all. No one was embarrassed for her. She wasn't embarrassed. It was just one of the things that you did for a physical injury. Mental health challenges are very different. We don't know why. I mean, part of it is because they're invisible. Part of it is you have to verbalize your struggles. You can't just take an X-ray and see them. You can't notice a limp or a favoring of like an elbow or something. So that's really tricky. So we wanted to really have some hard conversations at younger and younger ages. Yes, we focus on high school and college right now, but this conversation actually should start in infancy. And the conversation doesn't have to be, you know, deep and dark. The conversations we're wanting to promote is kind of like exactly what you're doing, Robin. You're just trying to have a conversation about the importance of mental health, that it is a thing, that it's all part of your overall health. My generation didn't grow up with that mindset. And We didn't know what to do, even if we did see signs with Morgan, we wouldn't have known what to do. But I do know that we would have reached out and gotten some help. That's just kind of the family that we are. But the fact that these conversations are still really hard to have at the dinner table, we want to change that. We want to change the culture on teams. We want coaches to be more comfortable with this conversation. So I know that's a long-winded story, but that's why we started Morgan's Message. And we're trying to get to these kids before they become in a crisis situation. We're trying to get kids to recognize signs that maybe a friend or their teammate might be struggling a little bit. Like I said, that spectrum is very broad, and there's a lot of work we can do before it gets to the point where they are truly mentally ill and need some real help like Morgan did.
Well, thank you for sharing. I expressed to you that it's very much deep on my heart. I have had well, I grew up and I had a very dear person in my life that was suicidal, and throughout, most of, like you're saying, like middle school through college, lots of help and Christian therapy, and it's a process for sure. And then, I've done prison ministry, so lots of topics and deep thought. A lot of, who I was working with had struggle, a lot of mental health struggles. And then later, now I'm helping to run a healing ministry at the Church of Nativity, which is there specifically for this, to have a safe place to share dialogue of things that are, well, it could be physical injury that they're seeking healing for, but it a lot of times it's emotional and mental healing or relationships, that kind of thing. So I think the key here is a safe place to actually have these conversations. And that's what we're hopeful to try to create. I wanted to share a little bit of your mission, and I'm just going to read it if that's okay. To amplify stories, resources, and expertise to strengthen student athletes' mental health, build community by and for athletes through peer-to-peer conversation, and provide a platform for advocacy. I know in writing a mission, it's every word is important. So, Donna, can you just explain a little bit about that mission?
Yeah, absolutely. So some of the critical words in the mission is that peer-to-peer part. We have over 5,000 current ambassadors at this point at the high school and college level, on over 1,600 campuses. That number fluctuates with graduation coming in the spring, but to date, that's how many we have. And it's a peer-to-peer led ambassador club basically on these campuses. We want the kids to be leaders. We want the kids to be facilitators. The high schoolers, we do require that they have an advisor. I always think it's important to have an adult on campus that's kind of supporting you from behind, not running the meetings, not doing the events. The kids are doing that. And so when kids speak to other kids peer to peer, it seems to work so much more powerfully than if it's a lecture from another adult, even if they trust that adult. It's just a different dynamic. We don't require them for college ambassadors, but we always encourage them. Like I said, I just think it takes a village. It really does, a team to support a mission or to support a movement. And so we give these kids everything they could possibly need to run a meeting, to run an awareness event. That's what our goal is. We want them to create spaces for their peers, teammates, friends, classmates, whomever. We want them to create a space where you can have these conversations, where they can learn and educate themselves and their peers on mental health. The simple question of what is mental health, that's one of the first presentations that we provide for these ambassadors, to kind of start from the beginning and explain to your peers what mental health is. What do you think it is? What is the reality of it? So we start at the very basic level. This is not a Debbie Downer club by any means. They actually hold some really fun awareness events, whether it's dedication games, which is basically the most popular way to do that. Basically dedicating a game to Morgan's Message, where they educate the fans and everyone in the stands and the other team what Morgan's Message is about, and once again, the importance of mental health. We're trying to make that into a daily conversation, just like physical health. But it's fun. They do dedication games. They'll do 5Ks. They get the community involved. Sometimes a coffee shop will have a Morgan's Message day, where they will have like a featured coffee drink, some having something to do, so that people will ask, well, what does that mean? And that's kind of what our critical goal is to get people to ask, what does that mean? And that kind of opens up the conversation. So, our ambassador program is definitely one of our biggest initiatives. We also get the word out on awareness through, you mentioned our podcast. It's called The Mental Matchup, sponsored by Morgan's Message. And basically, Kat is our one of the founders as well. It was one of Morgan's teammates at Duke. She does the podcast, and she just has guests on her show that talks about their mental health journey. We have professionals, clinicians sometimes that come in, but the majority of them are people just like the listeners, hopefully the high school and college, even younger, just talking about their mental health journeys so that it's not such an odd topic. So they don't feel so alone in their own journey navigating what they're going through. So awareness is our main focus. We just want this conversation to become easier and easier to have with peers, with your parents, with your teachers, with your coaches. It's really trickling up from these kids. We find we somehow attract the most amazing ambassadors. It's all volunteer, it's word of mouth. They reach out to us saying, I want to bring this to my campus. And we give them everything they need. We know how busy student athletes are at any level. And the last thing we want to do is burden them with another chore that they have to do as part of their school year. So we really take all the work out of it, and we try to make it as fun as possible, even though this is a pretty tough topic to cover.
Sure. I mean, I actually know. I feel like in our club we have a number of ambassadors as well. My daughter's one. I didn't even
Awesome.
know she was doing it, but she, I guess, through, Maryvale, they offer the option, and so she, of course, really excited about it. But it does. I like you're saying, the peer-to-peer, one. There's probably a foundation of like established trust. But I do think, what you said back when you were sharing Morgan's story, that, the stigma and the fear of asking for help, or, I mean, I see this with athletes, even like when they do get injured, like going to, like, they might not want to let their coach know because they won't want to sit on the bench, or, they don't want to. It's just, and then around the recruiting process, we're in the recruiting process right now with the 27s, and everyone. It's like something like nobody wants to ask anyone because it's like such an up and down emotional ride. But yet I feel like we should be talking about it. There's certain things that I think it's okay because I think the reality is we're all made up of our physical being and our emotional, mental being. And we have to start recognizing how important that part is, and that it's okay to talk about it, right?
There's something about athletes too. They're wired, they have a common denominator of wiring. They've got this facade that they've got it all under control. And they want that to portray to coaches so that coaches will be like, we really want that player because he or she's got her act together. And they're going to be an asset to our team. So I think athletes are trying to portray that. And they're not comfortable with letting their armor down a little bit every once in a while. Yet that is the, if the ones that actually let their armor down every once in a while are the ones that others look up to. They see them as human. They see them as good and bad days, which is reality. If they portray that everything is great all the time and that they've got it and they can handle it and they can handle the pressure of recruiting and they can handle an injury, just like Morgan did. Morgan wanted everyone to think she's got it under control. And everyone did. We all thought she did. She said the right things. She acted the right way. Everything was just exactly what she wanted to portray. She didn't know that it wouldn't have been a sign of weakness to just say, you know what, I'm struggling right now. I'll be back because that's who I am. But right now I'm struggling. And so we just, again, we want athletes to know that they're not perfect and no one thinks they are. And so please don't put that on yourself.
I definitely see that, with athletes. And I think as club and, club organizers, coaches, and parents, we need to just be more aware of that because we create this safe space that they can let their, like you said, armor and be all their authentic self. I think, like you said, that podcast, like of sharing stories is so important because it does. Oh, she's, I remember like nursing it for my first baby and not knowing what the heck I was doing and going to a group that actually talked about it. And I was like, oh my gosh, she's struggling with that too. Like I felt so relieved, but I was kind of hiding in my, like in that first baby, you just don't know what you don't know. And I needed a little push to kind of put myself out there. And I think the push could come from coaches and, clubs and just starting to take responsibility. But I love your vision. I'm just going to read the 6 points of your vision that I have here. Eliminate the stigma, equalizing the treatment, normalizing conversations, peer-to-peer communication, empowering those who suffer in silence and support those who are feeling alone, and building an all volunteer campus ambassador network. So those 6 points of vision, I know we kind of mentioned all of, a little bit about them, but why those? Why are those the pillars of this Morgan's message?
I have to say it's probably because of everything we read that Morgan wrote. We were really trying to get to the heart of what happened to Morgan. How did this kid that was so determined, so strong, so ambitious, so smart? She had a boring family, I like to say. She had two parents, a twin sister, an older brother. She had a very extensive, extended family. My family's large. My husband's family's large. We're all in the same, area. It just didn't make any sense that we lost Morgan to an illness that went undiagnosed and went untreated. And reading how she felt, we kind of dissected it and just tried to figure out, if she were still here and we knew all this, how could we help her? And so that's how we came up with what we need to do. We're kind of pretending that Morgan is still here and we're well aware of everything that she's struggling with. So how can we help her?
That's the beauty of, taking something very hard for you all, obviously, and putting it out to help others and to really make a difference. I think it's for our community to start listening and these six focuses: eliminating the stigma, equalizing the treatment, normalizing conversation, peer-to-peer communication, empowering those suffering in silence. And just building up a network of like an army of people to establish a community where it's safe.
That's what we're trying to do, one campus at a time. And like I said, we haven't asked any of our ambassadors to take this on. They have come to us. So already right there, we know they have a passion to make a difference. So we've already got great people in place. You know what I'm saying? We're not out searching. We don't find a campus and then find someone to do it on their campus. We sit back and we wait for them to come to us, and they do. They really do. They want to make a difference. This generation is really remarkable when it comes to acceptance and just trying to make a difference in their world when it comes to mental health. I mean, they're passionate and they're really doing a great job. We're very proud of every one of our ambassadors. We couldn't do what we do without them. We're a very small team, and there's no way we would have an impact on the student athletes if we didn't have our ambassadors.
Well, I think most out in the community recognize you by the butterfly. So I just wanted to like talk about that a little bit. I know you're wearing it. Just explain how that came to be and the like, because I think that's really cool that there is like it's very symbolic and it has very much meaning People might not know that. So yeah, share a little bit about the butterflies.
So right after we lost Morgan, we had some extreme situations where we were inundated with butterflies. Hadn't happened before, hasn't happened since. It was undeniable. And honestly, we didn't want the butterfly to be our logo because it was so typical of when someone passes, it's often, cardinals, butterflies, things like that. Morgan was anything but typical. So we thought it's not a strong enough symbol, but it was undeniable. We couldn't get over the number of butterflies that we saw when we critically needed them. I mean, to the point of at her gravesite when we were doing the service, to her memorial service, they were just undeniable. So we knew we had to somehow bring a butterfly into our logo. Morgan was an artist, not publicly. It was pretty private. Yeah, she did some pieces for friends, but and a lot of her artwork is on our website. It's pretty cool if you want to check it out because they're really intricate detail, highly detailed pieces of work. So the wings of our butterfly is actually her work from several pieces that she had created. So we took that those like shapes, put them in the wings. So that's Morgan's colors, Morgan's hands created that. The body of the butterfly is a semicolon, very symbolic in the world of mental health. So when an author uses it in writing, they use a semicolon, basically at a point where you can end the statement with a period, or you put a semicolon in to keep on going. And so we thought it was very important, kind of symbolic to Morgan. Her story didn't end on July 11th of 2019. Her story is keeping on going. It's, how do you say that? I said that wrong. It continues to live on, let's put it that way. And so we just thought that a semicolon as part of the butterfly was critical. And we were lucky enough, another founder, Megan Burney, her brother is a graphic design artist. So he helped us come up with the logo, and it didn't take long. And you'd think, boy, for five young ladies and an old lady voting in on what the logo should look like, you would have thought it would have taken a long time, but no, it happened almost immediately.
And that's how you know it was meant to be. And I mean, at your events, it's predominant, and it's a great way to kind of, oh, what is Morgan's message, and kind of bring up the topic and conversation. So it's good to know, so everybody can recognize. And there is such, I love that there is purpose and, just details behind every part of that, and so special that it's Morgan's artwork herself.
I know it's really special to us.
Well, and there, so you mentioned your website. So Morgan's message, is morgansmessage.org.
Org. Yep, morgansmessage.org.
Yeah, so I feel like if you want to learn more and you want to kind of learn about the ambassador, it's all on there. Also donations. I wanted to mention that kind of at the end, but that you can go on. Morgan's Message is a nonprofit. The more that they can raise, then I'm sure the more that they can do. And I of course that's very important in the mission. So I mentioned club directors, people that are running clubs, coaches, parents. It's important that we're creating a platform where it's safe and awareness can happen. But what action do you feel is their responsibility?
Well, I think it's underrated. I think the responsibility of coaches, specifically in college, they spend a lot of time with these kids per week. I mean, every day, several hours a day. They're very influential on these kids. High school, the same thing, not more than the family, but a significant amount of time per week that these coaches are with the kids. So their responsibility, I think, is great. And I think it's really important, first of all, that coaches accept the fact that mental health is important to their players. We have some work to do there. We're chipping away at that, but that is probably the begin. That's the starting point. We have to get coaches to buy in, understand, and agree that mental health is important among your players. Now, they may not know how to do that. They may not know what it's all about. That's one of the things we do try to provide. We try to provide some education to coaching staffs as well. Doing their homework, doing a little bit of research, really put yourself out there. Learn about mental health. Learn that it's on a spectrum. Learn that it's something that you don't need to be afraid of to talk to your students about. You can really talk to them about anything. Mental health needs to be one of them. These kids look up to you. They rely on you for an education themselves. So educate yourself. We can provide some, materials to help start conversations with your teams. And don't be afraid to say, I don't know. I'm not sure what the answer is here, but I'm going to do my best to find out. They have to check in with themselves to see how they really feel about mental health themselves. I would start there. Then, once you get the buy-in, model vulnerability. I think it's really important to be standing in front of your players and saying, you know what? I've got some stuff going on. My marriage is not great right now. I'm struggling. My mother is ill, whatever it may be. Let them know that you struggle too. It doesn't have to be permanent. Again, back to that spectrum. You could have a bad week. You could have a bad, scenario going on in your life that is outside of sport. That is great modeling because kids will have bad weeks that have nothing to do with their sport. And I think coaches need to recognize that, understand that, and accept that. That's at the very basic level. But I think that's one of the things we're trying to change. Through these ambassadors, we're finding that when coaches are learning that student athletes on their team are actually having these Morgan's Message meetings, or they come to the coach and say, I'd want to do a Morgan's Message dedication game, it makes coaches pause to say, okay, well, tell me about Morgan's Message. What is this all about? That's huge. That lets the players know that you are willing to listen to them, that you're willing to learn from them, and that you're willing to actually consider helping them with their mission by running a Morgan's Message chapter on their campus. That speaks volumes beyond just the coaching on the field or in a pool or on a track or on a court. It really lets them know that you're open to hearing what they have to say and you're open to learning more. And I think that's critical. That starts every conversation with a safer place than it was before.
I mean, this is the key of our meeting here today, because in talking to Dr. T in our last podcast, he did mention about awareness is so great, but actually educating and then taking action is the follow-up, right? It's all
Yeah.
in one. If we're not, it's so important. And so just like you said, as coaches, staff, parents even,
Yes.
Educating ourselves, but also you guys also provide some of that, like resources, things that we can look into, researching. And then I think you hit it with modeling vulnerability. That's a hard thing for people, but that's I talked to Dr. T about this too. It's just like I love being around authentic people that are open, that are vulnerable at times. And of course you want to be thoughtful with anyone that shares anything with you, and be a safe place. But a coach, like you said, people, they look up to you. I just think it's such a great environment to actually have these conversations.
I do too.
So no, I think that is fantastic, because we want to be able to do more than just bring awareness. We want to, as coaches and clubs, be able to take action and see next steps through. In direct ways, I think as family and friends, like how, what it like how what are direct ways we can help family and friends that may be struggling?
I would
So
say start with educating yourself on some very subtle signs that maybe your child or your player might be struggling, and they're not going to show all the signs all the times, and there'll be situations like Morgan where she really didn't show any signs. Now, in hindsight, we have seen signs when we think back to our experiences with Morgan. But like I said, accepting the fact that they can be really subtle. So the best way to notice any sort of change in a player or your child is to know them and know them well. Again, create that safe space where you can talk to them, or let they will feel like they can come to you if something is bothering them. But some of the signs are like noticeable changes in physical appearance. That doesn't show up all the time, but sometimes that's the first thing to go. You know, it's just they're just too tired, they're too anxious, they're just not in the mood to keep their physical appearance like they typically used to. Patterns around food, drastic changes in weight, sleeping. You know, a lot of people think depression is sleeping too much. Well, sometimes they're sleeping too little. And then that's when some physical signs will show up. Now, that's one of the signs Morgan did show. She did not sleep anymore. And when she slept, it was at very odd times. So she looked tired and drawn out. We thought she was just tired. We thought she was a typical college athlete. She was just tired. But there was more to it. I don't know how much sleep she got those last several months, but it was very little. I mean, she looked pretty bad. But we just thought she was just tired, frustrated, with her career coming to an end, with her never quite launching, getting her dreams on board, because of her injury. Drastic changes in mood or mood swings, things like that. Drastic here is the key word. If you know someone well, you will notice a drastic mood. They're going to have irritability days. You're going to be in a bad mood some days. You're going to be bummed out because something happened in class or you failed a test. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about drastic mood changes for about 2 weeks is something really, it can be a red flag. It doesn't mean that, you know, they need major help, but it just means that they're struggling with something. Isolation. I did know that Morgan pulled back from her team and friends. In hindsight, she always had a reason why. She was too busy. She didn't have time. She just wanted to focus on, you know, her rehabs. But there was some isolation involved there. And Morgan was a very social person, so that should have taken more of a red flag to us. But again, we didn't know these signs. Obviously, self-harm, that's hard to see sometimes, but you know, if it's in the middle of the summer and they're wearing sweatpants and long sleeve t-shirts, you know, there might be something going on. That doesn't mean there is something going on, but these are some subtle signs of possible, you know, self-harm if they just seem to be covering up their body when it's just not quite typical. And of course, substance abuse, that can be a way people are just masking their pain. Obviously, we know that. But like if someone's showing up to class, you know, impaired or hungover, even, you know, that's just not normal behavior. That's a sign that someone may be struggling or that something is wrong. And actually, sometimes people will actually come out and say, I'm not okay. I don't feel normal. Something's going on. Never assume that that is an attention-getting thing. Never. That could mean that they really are struggling and they're being very vulnerable and they want someone to know. So educating yourself on the person themselves and then some subtle signs and keeping in mind that not everyone has those signs. So really kind of try to get tuned into that person and see if you notice anything different about them that you haven't typically seen in the past. Coming out and talking to them does not put anything in their head in terms of struggling with mental health all the way to suicide. I know people say, well, I don't want to bring it up. That'll plant the idea in their head. Statistics show that is the complete opposite effect. It's really easy, it's not easy to go up to someone and say, you know what? And we often tell the kids this, a way to bring up a topic when you're concerned about someone, but you're just not sure, is we say, use I statements, or I've noticed, or I've seen. I've noticed you're coming to practice late this whole week. Is everything okay? I've noticed you didn't go to class last week, you know, when we had a class together. Is everything cool? That's the best way to not be attacking and judging. Simply asking someone that you've noticed something and that you're there if they want to talk. Chances are they'll say, no, I'm fine. I'm good. But then check back around with them again. Because sometimes it may take several times for someone to open up to their friend, teammate, classmate, whomever. They don't always, it's not like, a trigger where all of a sudden that you ask one question and they just unload. Sometimes it takes a while. Being a good listener is critical. A lot of times people have conversations, and half of the time they're thinking in their head what they're going to say in response to the other person. That's taking away from what they're actually saying. So being a good listener is not as easy as you think it is, but it's something that takes practice. But I would say, yeah, knowing the signs that can be, and then acting on them, pulling someone aside. Hey, can we go get a coffee? I've noticed you just don't seem the same. And if you just want to chat or not, let's just go get a coffee and catch up with what's going on in both of our lives. Something like that. There's several ways. A text, a simple text. It goes a long way just to let someone know that you're thinking about them and that you have noticed some changes in them.
I think that is huge part, and we could let fear stop us from doing that. But like you said, it's as simple as, hey, I've noticed. Just saying, hey, I've been thinking about you, been on my mind. I think a lot of times we shove our discernment down. I think when I've heard about something that's happened, or someone who's struggling, I've generally had some discernment. And I kind of was like, oh, maybe, but I think it's like you're saying, like if we know the person and they're a friend or family, and then it's okay to just ask and just see how things are going. And I think, like you said, statistics show that it actually does the opposite, that it might show them in the moment where they're hearing they're not valued and they're not enough, that they are, because
Exactly.
I love you. I care about you. I'm sitting next to you, listening to you. That's huge. I know when I did the prison ministry, and I know, I talked to God through that whole process, and He was always there with me. But He really spoke to me about, your job is just to let them know that they are heard and they are loved by me. And another human sitting next to them, hearing them or listening to them, was everything, because they're in prison. That's not the case in a lot of ways. And I felt so honored in so many ways that God allowed me those opportunities. But I feel like, in some sense, it saved people just by that little human love that they cared and they matter.
And timing was probably critical when you gave it to him. It's just what they needed to hear.
Amen to that. Well, I know that, you guys started in 2020 and you're evolving. What is there anything new that is happening with Morgan's Message? I know we're excited. This summer we're participating in Morgan's Jam, our club, and excited about that. How are these events helpful? And then, is there some new things that you guys have coming?
The events are very helpful because every time we do an event with fans or spectators, we're getting that much further out. You see what I'm saying? We're having that much more of a reach. We're in five different countries. We continue to expand by word of mouth. We have a lot of professional teams now that are reaching out, wanting to do Morgan's Message dedication games, which is really an incredible platform for us to participate in. Because think of the thousands of spectators that go to, a Commanders game or an NHL game, something like that. So that's kind of what we've been doing a little bit more. That's a little bit newer. But to be honest with you, what we're doing seems to be working. So we are trudging through with, we change up our resources all the time that we give kids for meetings and events. So that's always new and fresh. But in general, it's not broken, so we're not fixing it. We're just trying to get more campuses on board. We want more campuses to have a Morgan's Message chapter on board. We collaborate with other mental health organizations, The Hidden Opponent, Katie Save, Sarah Schultz Foundation. You can never have too many people in this space supporting these kids. So we will continue to do that. The right organizations we're on the same mission. Helsinki's Hope is another one of them that we, collaborate with. we just support each other, any event that they do. And a lot of these schools have like a Hidden Opponent Club as well as Morgan's Message. We encourage them to work together. Absolutely. No one, it's more inclusive than anything. I think the more voices out there, the better. But yeah, we're just trying to fine-tune our resources that we give the kids. Like I said, we keep it fresh, so that's kind of new. And then when the right professional teams come along and they're on board with us, we take every opportunity to do that because of the kids that are watching those games, because of the kids that are looking up to those players. When we get professional players, Athletes Unlimited is a new league, relatively new league, and they have women's sports. We get those players to actually support us and promote us as their cause for playing. So it's really ex it's an exciting time to see Morgan's Message grow. We had our first collaboration with Powerade this year, which was amazing. They reached out to us wanting to support our work. They ended up funding four scholarships, $5,000 scholarships to rising freshmen in college. That was an incredible. I hope we do that every year because the applications that we got were, when we wonder if what we're doing is really working, we get those applications and it really makes you pause and be like, okay, something is working. So we're gonna go that way. So yeah, so we've done that. We're having a few dedication games at the college level this fall that is collaborating with Powerade. So it's gonna be a joint thing there. So it's cool stuff. We're back to the basics though, is to raise awareness and then to empower these kids to make a change in their communities. So we're sticking to what's working.
Fantastic. Ravens, are you listening?
Yeah, I'd love to hear
Yes,
from them.
Ravens, I feel like hopefully he's listening.
Yeah, haven't heard from them yet, but our lines are always open.
That's I feel like, yeah, keep working. I think the reach is important. Everyone listening, if you want to be part of that reach, we would encourage you to go on Morgan's Message website. Is there anything I know donations, I would like to provide links and everything when we do actually put this podcast out there. And I also wanted the hotlines, the help lines. Is that something that you're always updating?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so I think I want to, make sure those are available all the time. Have you found that people are reluctant to use those, or it really is a simple process when you reach out to those lines?
I think it's a really simple process. Something that I learned when the 988 was first passed a couple of years ago, which they're still trying to get the word out that that's out there. I thought 988 was going to be similar to 911, where you're in imminent danger and you need to call to get help, but it's for a mental health challenge. It's so much more than that. I was worried about someone up in New Jersey, and I called 988, and they led me to resources near this particular individual in her community. So they are more than just, we need to get you help right now. They are a resource hub of how you get other people help as a friend. It also is if I was struggling and I didn't know what to do when I got really scared and didn't want to call 911, I called 918. They could help me with the resources around me. They could give me concrete ideas on how to get help. But I just thought it was fascinating to know that I could call just as a concerned friend of someone and then they could help me. And I was states away, so I didn't know what was available up there in her county or in her community. So that was really helpful. Yeah, sorry, did I get?
No, that's a great example because I wouldn't have imagined it would be for friends and family as well. And like you said, if they are not right in your local area, so that makes it very simple. And you utilize these lines. I can't emphasize it enough. Thank you so much for,
Course.
it definitely touches my heart, the work you're doing, and many, many people out there. So please keep doing what you're doing and your staff. We just thank you so much. But thank you for the time of being on with us today. I really appreciate it.
Well, Robin, thank you. Your work is very important. You're around a lot of kids, and I just appreciate people like you that care enough to really put your thoughts into actions, like we talked about earlier. So thank you. You're making a huge difference, and don't ever question that. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day and enjoy those grandkids as you talked about.
I will. I will. Thanks, Robin. It's great to see you.
You take care.